brother. What's up?
It's just a hey, big party, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
can dig
like,
it.
Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Luke. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. How are you doing on this fine Motown Monday morning?
And man, you took the words out of my mouth. Motown Monday morning.
Yeah.
You know, man, when the idea was first kind of bounced on me, about Motown Mondays, I'm like, Motown Monday.
There you go. Your eyes lit up. I can see
man.
It right now.
Come on, man.
I can see
it's
it right
like
now.
It's like sitting in front of a 10-month aged New York strip steak, right?
and hey, I'm a sucker for some good alliteration, so yeah. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about that, man. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. A lot of we're working. We got a very young pup at home, so a lot of our free time's taken up with working on the training of a pup. So we had a couple setbacks, but also some good advancements. With she can almost do paw or shake
right
now, which is pretty good. We're on track for that. But it was a good weekend. How was yours?
Mine was great, man. You know, I feel guilty, man. I sat around, I think Saturday I walked about 8 miles, and the rest of the week I did nothing.
That's okay.
Man,
you don't have to feel guilty about that.
I have to, man, that's the first time that
right.
I can recall that I have actually sat around and did, well, I didn't do.
You earned it.
I actually,
you earned it. You had a day of sitting around and doing nothing coming for you.
I actually did some cleaning, so. Man. I didn't sit around
and
do nothing.
That's good then.
But anyway, I want to welcome to the studio none other than Ted Craig. He is a regional director for WEAC, and he's the treasurer for Parents for Public Schools Milwaukee. Treasurer.
That's right.
Good morning to you, Ted. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
It's been a long time, man.
Yep.
You and I go back over on Brady Street.
Yep.
And maybe even a little bit before that.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a long, you know, you and education and the fact that you are so involved and emaciated in education, public education, how and why?
Well, I work for the Wisconsin Education Association Council, and I'm just a parent with kids who have all, thankfully, gone through K-12 education. And through that, I've just been involved in defending and advancing public education for, close to a couple decades now.
Yeah, so what is it about public education? I know public education is under assault, has been under assault for almost probably the last 30 years.
Yep.
And unwithering assault on public education. Why do you think that is?
I think we have a movement in this country that unfortunately one of the major political parties is the voice for, that they don't believe in public goods like public education. They do not think that they think it's socialism, essentially, to say we're going to have schools that teach all the kids to prepare them to be good citizens in a democracy and to be productive people in an advanced economy, and that you get it for no charge and we all chip in and contribute to that. They're against that. And you can see that everywhere. That's why they were against Obamacare. That's why they were against Social Security when it was formed. They do not believe in public goods like that. And I think that is at the root of it. They think that we all ought to be on our own in kind of a jungle, fighting for ourselves and fighting for an education for our kids. And that's their point of view. And that's very backwards. That's not what America has ever been about. America is one of the first places where we said, look, we're going to make sure we have a well-educated citizen. We were going to make sure that all kids have a chance to get a good education, because we need that if we're going to have a prosperous 21st century economy and if we're going to have a democracy. And so it's very backward. And you can look at the history where one of the first sort of instantiations of parent rights was actually the manufacturers pushing back against child labor laws, saying that we don't think kids ought to be in public school. We think the parents ought to have the right to send them to work in the factory at 6 years old. So this has a long history, actually, of objecting to public goods that make equality an opportunity possible in this country.
Ted, it's nonsensical to say that you don't want the majority of the American people, children, to get quality educations. Doesn't that long-term handicap the ability of the nation to compete globally?
Well, yeah, there's no doubt. And outside of competition, it's about what kind of society are we going to have? I mean, do you want to live in a society where people are relatively prosperous, where you know you have peace and order and a democracy? You need everybody to be educated. And, of course, the people who are attacking public schools will never admit what they're really up to. What they'll say is, this is really for the kids. There's a lot of bait and switch stuff, right? Voucher schools are for the poor kids that are in those lousy public schools in places like Milwaukee and Chicago. But really at the heart of it is they do not believe there ought to be that public good. They believe that parents should be on their own as far as trying to get a decent education for their kids, and that we don't all have a responsibility to make sure that all the kids have the best possible education. That is really what's going on, but they will never state it directly.
You know, Dr. Craig, there is a correlation between the lack of education and, unfortunately, people that struggle in a society, crime and all those different things. They're intertwined with the lack of a quality education. It's safe to say that, right?
I think it's very much safe to say, although one can exaggerate the importance of education. Because, as you and I were talking about before the program, a person can get a really good education at a four-year institution in this state, which are really good, and still end up making very little money and having a very hard time keeping a roof over their head, not to mention the student debt.
Right.
So education isn't the panacea some people think it is. We need some other things. We need labor unions. We need standards for labor. We need better minimum wages. We need ways for work to pay. But education is a really important component and really what made America one of the premier nations in the world.
Well, so public education, again, has been the bedrock of the strength of this nation. Public education, I attended public schools, and granted, it was back during the time that they had oil lamps in the classroom.
sure, was it like whale fat? Yeah.
Whale fat. but public education, people understood that the masses of the children and were from the baby boomers. And so the school district that I went to, Milwaukee Public Schools, had 120,000 students in those schools. And the only competition were parochial schools. And certainly parochial schools did a great job of educating. I'm not saying that they didn't. Mm-hmm. They really did. But they didn't have the masses of the students, 120,000 students. And when I was in school, Ted, even the least educated amongst my peers could read and write, could do basic math. Mm-hmm. Today, that's not the case. There are children who can't read, who can't write, who can't do math. And it's a whole different world now. How do we get from, in my day, even those young children who we would say were wayward, they could do basic math. They were functional in the society. Mm-hmm. Today in the global technological society, Ted, what's happened?
I think the word that comes to mind for me is disinvestment. And it's not just disinvestment in schools. As you know, these things are all linked together, right? So we have a society where we segregate as far as where people live, and we concentrate poverty, and we don't invest in those communities. And business doesn't invest in those communities. Right. And we've disinvested from the public schools, which are one but not the only way that we could help people actually have opportunity and advance themselves. So it's a whole bunch of linked problems. As anybody teaching in Milwaukee Public Schools will tell you, we're teaching different kids than kids who are in Mequon.
No question.
Right? And the schools can be perfectly good, but you're going to have kids who come in from not just poverty, but deep poverty with a lot of trauma in their lives. and the schools don't have the resources to deal with that. I mean, and the funding for schools is actually, relative to inflation, declined dramatically in this state. I mean, it's sickening how much they've cut schools relative to inflation since Scott Walker and his gerrymandered legislature came in. And that's just made it worse and worse. And so the schools are less able to cope with the problems that they're dealing with, but at least they still teach all the kids and do everything they can. But these things are all connected. You're not going to really solve an education problem unless you solve the racial inequality and the income inequality problems as well. Unless you do something about concentrating a lot of poor people who are discriminated against in the same places.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined by Regional Director for WEAC and Treasurer for the Public Parent for Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee, Ted Craig. And so you know, Ted, public schools, unfortunately, and especially Milwaukee Public Schools, is a social service agency first. I don't understand how people, and I spent 12 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. I keep telling people, and recently, as short a period of time as a little over a year ago, I was volunteering my time in Milwaukee Public Schools. And I saw children coming to school with no socks in the winter. I saw kids coming to school with no hats, no gloves. For heaven's sakes, a hoodie.
Yep.
In freezing temperatures. MPS fed students breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was the only safe place for children. So the schools would be open from 6 o'clock in the morning to 8 p.m.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking about an entity that was earmarked to educate in my day, but it's become a social service agency first.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid function for schools. They're public institutions. They exist so that all kids have opportunities, so that we have as many educated people as we can in our society. We need that as a society. So it's not a terrible thing that the schools do more. So you I'm sure you know that in Milwaukee, they've implemented a model at a number of schools called community schools.
All right, so 844-967-2789. My guest is Ted Craig. He is a regional director for WEAC and treasurer for Parents for Public Schools. You can join the conversation, 844-967-2789 on the Earl Ingram Show. Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Ted Craig. He is a regional director for Wisconsin Education
Association
Council. And he's the treasurer for Parents for Public Schools, treasurer of Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee. You know, Ted, before, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I hope, trust you join the conversation. You know, Ted, we were talking during the break about the fact that, you know, public schools have to deal with these social issues that, I'm telling you, didn't happen when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that. And so schools could focus on educating. But today, I've been in the schools and I watch brokenhearted students and children come to school, and education is the last thing on their mind. Mm-hmm. They're homeless. You know, they've probably just been moved out of wherever it was they were. It's a hard and harsh reality that if there's no stability in the lives of children, should we expect miracles for public schools?
Yeah, you know, the simple answer is no. And you can have great public schools. I think Milwaukee public schools are great schools. My kids went all the way through them and got a terrific education. But the simple answer is that there are limits to what schools can do, and you can't blame schools for everything else going around. That said, schools are one of the best things we can do if we really invest in them, and they can play a role as far as social services and community. So there's the community schools concept, which they have a number of schools in Milwaukee where actually they work with the community and with social service agencies. This is a hub where the parents can get help for other things, right? It just has a broader function. So that's all very good. But the bottom line is if you have a society with massive inequality and you concentrate that inequality and you have racial discrimination the way you still do in this society, you can't blame the schools for the communities they're serving. And that's frequently what conservatives do. They point to Milwaukee public schools and say, look at our failing public schools in these cities run by Democrats. No, it does not have to be this way. That we have all these people who cannot earn enough money to keep a roof over their head and to put food on the table and to make sure their kids get to school, you know, in the condition they need to really learn. That is a much bigger social problem, which is why I'm really involved in Citizen Action of Wisconsin too.
Right.
Because this is not some state of nature where it's inevitable you have these conditions where kids are coming to school, right, who are not prepared and not fed, right, and not, you know, just balanced enough to be able to get an education. This is something we can do something about if we invest in these communities and if we systematically get rid of the discrimination.
Well, they also believe, the conservatives, that teachers' unions are at the root of what is ailing public education. Your thoughts?
Well, again,
you guys make too much money? They're too greedy? They only work 10 months out of the year? I mean, you've heard all the things that they've said.
Conservatives generally hate unions. And
except for police and fire.
Except for police and fire, right? Except for their political allies, right? Especially police.
Right.
But they generally don't like unions, and they don't like unions because unions give working people power in dealing with their employers. And a union is nothing but a group of employees that comes together and says, we're going to advocate for our interests and our beliefs. And teachers' unions are an extremely positive force in this country. The reason Act 10 went after teachers' unions is because they know teachers' unions are a bulwark to preserve funding for public education and to get the best possible education for every kid. And that's why they go after teachers' unions. I don't think there's anything negative that teachers' unions do. So, yeah, teachers' unions advocate for better pay and benefits. Well, if you pay teachers better and give them adequate benefits and so on, then you will have the best possible professional educators. Right now, if you have a master's degree and you're a teacher, you are likely to be making 20 to 30% less than if you were doing something else with that master's degree or bachelor's degree. People literally take a wage cut. This is well established by ample research. So the concept that teachers' unions are a problem, we're overpaying these teachers, is absurd. It's not the realm of reality. The realm of reality is that a lot fewer people are staying in teaching. A lot fewer people want to get into teaching because it is really tough work wherever you're doing it, and it's not getting any easier.
Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Sir, you belong on Busted Pencils as well on the network later on in the day.
We all know one another, but go ahead, Ted.
Okay. Great. And then, Ted, what I would also say is, couldn't we do something as simple instead of calling things public schools, that maybe we call it we the people schools? Maybe we start calling it, because maybe people just don't realize the concept that you're basically all paying a little bit. Unfortunately, it's through property taxes, and it's not done a different way, but that we the people schools would be a better way of framing this, so we all understand that we're paying taxes so our children can actually, you know, we're investing in their future and we're investing in kids. I just feel like sometimes the word public has been so, public and government has been so
vilified,
bastardized in terms of a word and vilified as a word. That really and truly what it is we the people. We the people are coming up, which is basically what the United States is all about, which is even more, you know, unbelievable because these people should just go live in Somalia if that's what they want, with a place with not we the people's tax dollars. If that's the case, take away all our taxes. Because of the fact, don't just take away the billionaires' taxes, take away all our taxes, and I guess we'll have a Somalia.
Hey, Tom, we got it. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. Ted, we'll let you respond on the other side. You know, 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Ted Craig. He is the Wisconsin Educational, a regional director for WEAC, and he's the treasurer of the Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee, the treasurer. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Motown Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. Mondays on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Ted Craig. He is a regional director for WEAC, and he is the treasurer of Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee. And so, you know, Ted, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. You know, and I know many of you in this listening audience, your children are grown, and I don't know if your children went to public schools or not. And certainly, even if your children didn't go to public schools, it stands to reason that the majority of the children in the United States of America, children are going to be going to public schools. So it's critically important that those public schools be supported, Ted. I don't understand why somehow people believe that by not supporting public schools and then pushing for private and voucher schools, that somehow that's the right way to go.
Yeah, I mean, and the forces, the people that are opposed to public education, and it is that simple, they're opposed to public education, they are never upfront about what they're doing. That's a very important piece to understand. So, for example, we all know there's been all this controversy at school board levels about things like banning books, right, removing
critical
materials from the library,
theory.
Critical right. race theory. Even in Oak Creek, they banned safe space stickers, right? On and on, right? And if you look at what that's really about, and this has been really well documented, the people who are funding that are the same people who fund Scott Walker and Donald Trump and so on. And their goal is really to decrease trust and faith in public schools, right? So they have all kinds of ways to go about it. You know, your teachers may be teaching your kids some terrible thing, like your kids to be transsexual or something, right?
Yeah.
They do that in order to drive down respect and trust in the public school. So they have a lot of different ways to go about it. For many years, what they would do is they would point to Milwaukee public schools, where you have incredible concentrations of poverty and segregation and discrimination going on. And they'd say, look at how those kids are doing in school. Public schools are terrible, right? They find all kinds of different ways to undermine public education without ever being upfront that they don't believe in public schools, that they think every parent ought to be for his or herself in kind of the wild, wild west. Find the best education for your kid if you can. That's their philosophy.
Well, and then they say, I don't have any kids in the public school system. Why should I continue to pay money to a failing system?
Yep. And I love that question. You know, I knock on doors for the Milwaukee Public School referendum, which is a very important referendum in Milwaukee. The schools are going to be in big trouble if we don't do it. Hate to raise property taxes, but this is our choice, given what the state's done to us. And I do have people say, well, I don't have any kids in schools. And I always respond, well, you know, we need good schools, whether you have kids in them or not. You know, we're not going to have a prosperous society. We're not going to have a safe society or much of a democracy if we don't educate all our kids. And the vast majority of people say, you're right. I support public schools, even though I don't have kids or grandkids in them.
So, you know, Ted, when you look at a system right now where people think that the private schools and – so – I'm not opposed to private schools. You know, I had one of my sons, when voucher schools first came into vote, my wife and I put one of my sons in the voucher school system. And the early stages of the voucher system that was started in Milwaukee and created by Annette Polly Williams and Larry Harwell and so anytime I hear people talking about this, I know the two people who started it. I know the reason that they started it. It started in Milwaukee. That's mm-hmm. where it came from. And then George Bush the First hijacked vouchers. Mm-hmm. Vouchers were created to give a fair opportunity, equal opportunity to black children, Central City in Milwaukee, to get a quality education. Mm-hmm. That was the reason that they created vouchers. Then Governor Tommy Thompson supported it. Mm-hmm. And so the vouchers were created in the city of Milwaukee. The early stages of vouchers were horrific. They were storefronts, no cafeteria, no gym, no books. None of those things existed in those early stages of voucher schools. And for a long, long time, people were able to get away with that. The educators or so-called educators didn't have any degrees, mm-hmm. any background. I had a friend who was in prison. He got out of prison, and he became a math teacher mm-hmm. in one of the voucher schools. That just so people have an idea of what this was.
Yeah, I mean, I believe at the outset, they didn't have to have a high school degree.
No, they didn't have to
teach
have
a voucher school.
No, and yet the state sanctioned it.
Yeah.
The state of Wisconsin sanctioned those schools. Let's go to CJ. Hey, good morning to you, CJ. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call and your guest. I guess when I hear you describe how people like me, conservatives, believe what happened during COVID, we found out what kids were learning and what they weren't. They weren't learning to read, write, and do arithmetic. You can see it in the scores all across the country. So thank God that's the one positive we had from COVID. Kids weren't learning that. We're learning social issues. When you talk about banning books, we believe that, yes, there is age-appropriate book and literature out there, and parents should have a say in it. So when we see failing schools and we see it in the test scores, we want kids learning. We don't want them being driven by you call, what is it, CRT and DEI, all this crap, instead of learning to read, write, and do arithmetic. So how about we look at actually the test scores and the results?
So how about we try to deal a little bit with truth and not fiction? You made statements that children weren't learning to read and write during COVID. That's a fallacy.
It's mythological.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ted.
No, this is mythological stuff, CJ. And like, with all respect, okay, because there's some points you make that we could have an interesting discussion on. But the idea that kids are not learning math and reading and writing is just mythological. I can tell you my job is that I work with teachers and support staff in schools, and I get kind of into the weeds on what they're doing and not. They are hyper-focused on literacy and on math. Actually, I would say they are to a fault, because those are the things that are tested, and that's what the incentives of the administrators are to do, is to drive up those scores. So this idea that they're just learning socialism and perverse stuff, and they're not learning basic academic subject matters, is mythological. It's non-reality. Anybody who works in a school or has ever been in a school for any length of time knows it's not true. But if you want to get to the other part of this, there's this claim that the schools are failing, test scores are going down. Actually, it's very interesting. Until you started to have corporate education reform that really targeted teachers' unions and went towards privatization and a real test score kind of focus, the benchmark for academic achievement is called the National Association for Economic Progress Scores. And actually, the scores had been increasing very, very steadily from the 1960s up until the early 2000s when the corporate education reform came in. So that's mythological, too, that you have these failing schools, that they're doing terrible on the tests. It is true, obviously, that COVID had a consequence. It was extremely disruptive. But, you know, this is where I'm afraid conservatives then pick at the data to basically make the point that they want to make and are not taking an honest look at it.
You know, Ted, when you there is some statistical information that says even in private schools, you know, suburban schools, kids aren't doing as great as their counterparts globally.
Yeah, this gets to a whole nother question. It's very interesting that there's a global test called the PISA, forget what it stands for, and they rank all the countries, and the United States is not doing as well as you'd like it to be doing. But if you break it down then by income, and you take kids who are in more affluent, you know, have more affluent right. backgrounds, then we are top five, actually. And our scores are low very largely because we have the kind of economic inequality we have, because we do a very, very poor job, first of all, of people being able to earn a living and keep a roof over their heads and have a decent life in our country. And secondly, we don't invest nearly enough in the kids that are from those backgrounds like other countries do. But if you actually break it down and take a look at it, our schools are not failing relative to other schools. It's our society that allows this incredible inequality, people to live in deep poverty with very little support, that's driving our test scores to be lower compared to other countries.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Ted Craig. He is a regional director for WEAC and the treasurer for Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee. You know, Ted, it becomes so frustrating to me when you constantly continue to hear the gripes from especially people who call themselves Republicans or conservatives. We can't afford to educate the children anymore. That's not our responsibility. Oh, but we can afford to spend more money on military than any other nation on the face of the earth. We somehow figure that that's a better investment for our nation, to spend that money on military than it is to spend that money on the future of our children. Those other nations that you were talking about, they spend the money on education. They know the importance of it.
Yeah. No, look, that is...
Look at a place like India, right? Look at a place like China. Wasn't so long ago, they weren't very educated. Now look at them.
Right. Look, this is an obvious thing to do. If you want to be a prosperous country in a 21st century economy and to deal with all the challenges that we face, then you need to invest in education. You can look at it all over. One of my favorite is, you know, we got $250 million to give to a Brewers owner who is a billionaire, right? Whose asset after he bought it is inflated like five times. We got $250 million for that, but for the schools, no way. Why are we wasting money on the schools, right? So it is all about priorities. In this state, a lot of the money has gone towards tax cuts for rich people. We have corporations that pay virtually no taxes. People who are more affluent pay a much lower tax rate than people who are middle or lower income in this state. And those are the choices we've made. We're doing that rather than properly funding our schools.
So 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Ted Craig. He is a regional director for WEAC, treasurer for Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee. You can join us, 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show at 540 AM WAUK and 101 FM, the Shaw, on Civic Media.
I often hear another day, another night. I long to hold you tight, 'cause I'm so alone.
Don't you know I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, I'm wondering, little girl, I'm wondering, how can I make you love me a little more than you love him? Oh, baby, Jimmy was your sweetie pie, your precious one, and I knew you used to love the very girl he walked upon. One day, Jim Papa told him,
and Stevie Wonder. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. And welcome back to my guest, Ted Craig. He is the regional director for WEAC. He is the treasurer for the parents for public schools in Milwaukee. Let's go to the phone lines. And Karina, good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm so agree with you in terms of spending money, because it doesn't sound normal. Whether it's a socialism, capitalism, it just doesn't sound normal to any family of a people. Why would you protect and spend so much money on military to protect the country you saying you protect, where the country is full of dumb and sick people, because we have no money for education and healthcare? I mean, where is this country going if you're protecting complete nothingness?
Well,
except the land.
Hey Karina, thank you very much for the call. Ted, you want to respond to Karina?
Yeah, no, this is about priorities, and it's also about maybe taking a step back and thinking, like, what do we have a government for? right? And we should have a government that is about creating a democracy and a good life for everybody. And we should think very broadly about education. You know, what are we trying to defend? Because I think that's what's gotten lost, trying to make everything like a business. Everything shouldn't be like a business, right? They should have other elements to them about what kind of society we live in. And obviously, if people have a good education, they're much more likely to have a prosperous and happy life, right? Because they're just going to be able to participate more in the decisions that affect their lives and that affect their families and their children. So education is just, it's a good in and of itself. That's an important American value, actually. And even if it didn't create higher paying jobs, which of course it does, and all the other good things that come from education, it should be something we desire. In any case, that's what this country is about, is a government by, for, and of the people, and the people being independent and educated and able to fend for themselves.
Let's do this. Let's go to Ken from McClara. Good morning to you, Ken. Thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Hello, this is Tim.
Yeah, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I got a little bit different take on this. I think there's people behind the scenes pulling strings, and the only people they want to educate are the people of the rich. They don't care about the poor people. They know that there aren't going to be enough jobs going around with all this AI and robotics and all that stuff. You got all these private schools that they're touting in charter schools. They just want a certain segment of the ruling class to be educated, and to heck with everybody else.
You know,
that's all I got to say.
Well, you said a mouthful, Ken, because, you know, Dr. Ted, I will say this. Public schools aren't just under assault in Milwaukee. They're under assault all across the state. They're under assault all across the nation.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And I agree with the overall point the caller's making, in that what they do want is a very different level of education and kind of school for well-to-do people than they want for people who are poor or of less means. They want a highly differentiated education where the good schools, where you have a rich education, where you're getting foreign languages and music and right, just high-level education, they want that reserved for relatively affluent people. And they want, at best, a bare-bones education for the rest of the country. And that's absolutely what's going on. And that's what vouchers and privatization are partly about.
So Ted, these last couple minutes, what do you want to say to the listening audience about the importance of public education?
Well, I would just say this. My way of thinking is it's really important to get to the root of the problem and what the solutions are. And just one part of that is that we have people who we elect to public office, and they decide what kinds of standards are we going to have for schools, how are we going to fund them, all the important decisions. And I think we really need to look at who we're electing to public office. One of the really good news stories in the state is that after 12 long years of a gerrymandered legislature where it doesn't matter how you vote, it was the same majority in power, and they were very anti-public education, that gerrymander is largely gone. And now is really a time to elect people to public office who are going to do right by our schools and by our communities.
You know, Ted, if we just thought for a moment and didn't get so caught up in the politics of it, you would have to say it makes absolute sense to make sure that children get the best educations possible so they can become productive citizens, right? As adults. That only makes sense.
Right. I mean, if you want to have a safe community and good neighbors, then you want to educate all the kids, right? And this gets to, again, a difference in philosophy between conservatives and what I'd call progressives, where, look, we're all in it together. We need everybody, actually, to be able to live a good life and to support themselves and to be secure. That's in everybody's interest. And we need to make those investments if we want to live in that kind of society.
All right. That's Ted Craig, Regional Director for WEAC and Treasurer for Parents for Public Schools in Milwaukee. Ted, we're going to have you back. And I just want to say to the listening audience, next Monday, we're going to be joined by Tim Slecker, who is with Busted Pencils. He's going to join me on the air. So up next, news, weather, and sports. Son of wondering, how can I
you love me a little more than